Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today, I have with me Hassan, who's just guzzling water.
Hello.
And also, we have the counselor. That should be your hero name or villain name, I don't know.
Definitely villain name.
The counselor.
The counselor.
I don't know if we said before, but Ram's taking a little break, so we'll be just dragging anyone on. I'm joking, Josh. But, you know, she'll be gone for a while. But we will still be here. The Nerd Alternative will still stand.
Can we just say Josh is the first person we went to when Ram was gone? We're like, got to get our brother back in.
There you go. I can look like Ram as well. What?
Wait. Oh, boy, let's not do that.
If you bring out a wig.
Don't. But yeah, so today, you know, after our amazing quiz that we done last week, we decided to have a nice little, a cool, chill episode. We're talking about remakes and remasters. You know, Mass Effect came out, which I don't know how I'm gonna plan to play that. But we'll talk about that a bit later. But first, let's reach into the corners of the nerddom and pull out news and talk about it. Firstly, what I thought was ridiculous is this whole Charlie bit my finger scenario. I mean, I don't know if you know, but the original poster who had the video on YouTube has removed it, and it is now being sold as an NFT. Me and Josh have spoken a little bit about NFTs. I don't know if you're familiar with them, Hassan.
Yeah, the non-fungible transactions, right?
Just garbage, yeah. So I just thought, I find it fascinating, this whole, I know they've been around for a bit, and I know people can, like, use this method of payment to kind of, like, make money off of art. I would say probably digital art, I suppose, if you were a digital artist, and it's a way to be like, this is me selling you this thing, but you're buying nothing. I find it fascinating. Like, you're buying nothing. Bearing in mind, the Charlie Bit My Finger video has already been re-uploaded onto YouTube by someone, some random other person. We all have screen grab on our phones these days. So I'm just kind of like, what is happening? So just some interesting figures. I don't know if you know the disaster girl meme with the girl, like, with the fire house in the background. Yeah, so yeah. I think she sold the NFT of that meme for like $500,000. The Brad Luck Bryan meme went for $36,000. And the Nyan Cat meme was sold for $600,000. And I mean, what is going on, guys? What?
I'm vigorously shaking my head. Vigorously. Like, half of me is like, the people who are the subject of the meme getting paid finally for their likeness being used, great. Like, if they have a better life coming out of the other side of this, even better, right? But if you're an adult who's spending money on a non-fungible transaction with this amount, yeah, it's stupid, man. It's stupid.
It's literally, and my thing is, the amount of money that these things are going for, and it's not like, well, to my understanding, which is admittedly very, like, limited, it's not like a copyright. It's not like if I was showing you a Nyan Cat meme and this Mr. Joe Bloggs is like, no, I've got the NFT for that. Like, he can't swipe my phone and delete it off my phone, can he? Nope. It's like, what... What are you like? I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. I just thought that was really interesting.
I said it to Levi in the group chat. From the moment that people started charging you for bottled water, the world was crazy. And now it's just insane. I'm not meaning to sound super Marxist or anything like that, but
this is why we brought you on, the counselor. We're gonna shake up capitalism.
That's it. Oh no, Josh is all for it. But yeah, got the turtleneck on and everything. Just jobs over there. But moving on, Army of the Dead came out. I know Josh didn't watch it. Did you watch it, Hassan?
No.
It's not scary though.
It's not the horror thing. It's I need like another 3 month run up for another Zack Snyder thing. Like there needs to be like half a calendar year between Snyder watching for me.
Do you know I almost said I really enjoyed it. That's a lie. I quite enjoyed it. I feel like it was quite not self-aware, but it was quite ridiculous. It wasn't too moody and too like I'm so cool or I'm brooding. It was fine. It didn't need to be 2.5 hours though, I can tell you that.
Oh my god, it's that long.
It's 2.5 hours. And Zack Snyder is I think he's the director and the cinematographer. So there's some scenes that I'm not gonna lie, like they be dragging. But yeah, the only reason I put go on.
Is this episode worthy? Because we could do an episode.
No, the only reason I was it's an honorable mention. But the only reason I brought it out is because there's like a zombie verse that's been confirmed already, and I'm just like, gosh, Snyder cannot just, I don't know, just make a film. Bearing in mind, this is, I don't know if you've seen his first, I don't know if it's actually his first directorial debut, but Dawn of the Dead, which is another zombie film. This one is not related to that one at all, but there is so far two spin-offs that have already been confirmed. Bearing in mind, this came out, I think, theatrically 2 weeks ago, last Friday on Netflix, but there's going to be an anime prequel set in the early days of the zombie outbreak, which all the actors are doing like voice roles and that stuff. And then there's another prequel film about one of the characters in the film, but it's not a zombie film apparently. It's like a I don't know. The worst thing is, I won't spoil it, but especially that second prequel, I don't understand, but it's weird. But you know what though, Hassan, I will say there was a world there. And it was, I would say it's in terms of the film itself, it was quite negative in a sense of they were just saying things and things were just happening. And like there was a pile of zombies, for example, and they're like, oh, when they're dead, but when it rains, they move again. And we never even actually saw that.
Earthworms? What were we doing?
We don't even know. And there was a lot of information like that. And you think, oh, is this like, are we going to come back to it? Is it going to play a plot point? And it doesn't even, they never mention things again. And it's like,
yeah, okay, I'm
over Zack. Do you know what the thing is? You know, everyone who's listened to me talk about Zack Snyder knows how much I love the Snyder Cut. Everything. But you see, after reflecting on that, and also after watching Superman and Lois, I think it's called, or Clark and Lois.
I can't believe you watched that, to be honest.
But... Mate, no, but it's amazing.
I'm anti CW.
I'm always in and out of CW stuff, but that depiction of Superman is so good. It made me delete all of the negative brooding Superman stuff that Henry Cavill is in the Zack Snyder universe. And it made me realize that, you know what? If DC does things right, you can expand this universe so much better. Then maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later in the other topics, but I just feel like Zack Snyder and his world, I'm kind of over it.
That's why I bought the zombie thing, put it on the news. So I just thought it was interesting how this is his first thing since the Snyder Cut, and somehow there's already a world being built here. There's already, I don't know how, I think he is involved in the film prequel, which is apparently finished filming. So it was all like planned. I don't know. I'm so confused. But like, I don't know what it is with his need to kind of expand. I mean, I like worlds, but I don't know, man. When it comes to Snyder, there's something about it that feels a bit like this
money.
Too Snyder-y.
I think that's what it is.
Money.
There's a thing with Zack Snyder movies where it's very much like it's good looks rather than substance.
Yeah.
Like it's popcorn. Like you eat it, but there's no nutrition. It's just tastes good, right?
Yeah. And go on.
But it's we're like two meals down, like in a three-course meal, and it's just been popcorn. Nah. I'm good.
No, but I think that's why I kind of liked Army of the Dead, because there's this level of pretentiousness about Snyder's like cinematography that makes people think that like this is like such amazing cinema, if you get what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Army of the Dead kind of was just like, as opposed to it feeling like it's supposed to be something special, it was just like, this is just a Snyder film, and it just felt more ridiculous in a sense. I'm not saying like it was like Transformers, but more like Dave Bautista like doing wrestling moves on zombies and like throwing like casino tables at zombies. Do you get what like, do you get what I'm saying? As opposed to like,
go on.
As opposed to like, as there was, there's like a female actress, I forget her name. She was like, I swear down, she was doing gun fu with zombies and that. Like, it just felt more balls to the wall. Like, the plot holes felt like they just didn't care. Like, it felt less like trying to be something and more just Snyder being Snyder. And I appreciated that, as really as that was.
Are you? Yeah. This is selling it to me. Like, this is the kind of bad movie I love watching.
All right, this is why. All right, a zombie tiger ripping off a man's face, but because it's a Snyder film, the tiger's doing it for about 10 minutes. it felt like stumbling across, like, I don't know, if you was in a jungle and you just happened to see a tiger attacking its prey. Like, there's something about it that felt like, am I just watching a tiger? Like, that's literally what you're watching. It just felt so drawn out.
Do you know those videos, the like, it's like there's no payoff, like the whole video is just like the car racing towards a wall, and they cut to a different angle racing towards the wall. That's what I feel like 90% of Zack Snyder movies.
Yeah, but this one. Oh, and the cast is good, to be fair. You've got Amari Hardwick, you've got Bautista. I forget some of the other names, but they are names. I'm bad with names, guys. Like, if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm terrible with names. But yeah, let's move on from that anyway. I didn't want to spend too much time on that. On to probably better DC news. I mean, this is quite old, but we haven't done news in a while, so I thought I'd stick it in there. Obviously, there was a new Batman series announced and a new Superman series announced. For HBO Max. I didn't find too much information on the Superman series. It seems to involve Lois Lane and what's my man's name? Jim
Gordon?
No, the
Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen, yeah. Jimmy Olsen. It seems to be about them when they were younger. I think Jimmy Olsen's black in this cartoon, actually. It seems to like follow, I guess, like younger years of like Clark finding himself, making a name for himself in the planet, in the Daily Planet. Is that the name of the newspaper there?
The Daily Bugle, yes.
I almost said that.
Show me pictures of Spider-Man.
But I feel like everyone's more hyped for the new Batman series. Oh. Obviously, we have a J.J. Abrams on board. Mm-hmm. We have a Mr. Matt Reeves on board. And we have the man himself, Bruce Timm, on board as well. So this is like, it's looking like OG things are gone. You know what I mean?
Thought you were going to say Bruce Wayne. Don't know why.
Yeah, he's decided to come out of the comics and write his own cartoon. Did you see the concept?
It looked like there was a Batman, like a 3D Batman show that they had like a few years back now. It looked kind of similar to that, which I hope it isn't, because I'm not really the biggest fan of the 3D animation stuff. Like, I know Green Lantern had a run at 3D animation as well, like a TV show, but I didn't really check for it because I don't really like... I like the 2D art style, like how it was back in the 90s, obviously, but I don't think it will be like that. In terms of this Batman thing, I'm so pumped for it because Bruce Timm, that's my childhood right there in terms of Batman, the animated series, Superman, the animated series. Then you have Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, and Batman of the Future. That was me, man. And I'm like so happy that by the time this comes out, my son is going to be a certain age where he can probably just watch it. And then he literally can grow up watching the same things that I did growing up. So I think it's going to be like a magical moment for the both of us.
MCU life way. The stuff my managers tell me about growing up, having kids growing up, like that 10 years between Iron Man 1 and Endgame, apparently it was a magical thing for a lot of parents. Yeah. The costume looks a lot like the old school Batman. Like his the cowl, especially the ears or whatever you call them, they're like really, it's really interesting. I like
when it. We say old school, do we mean like Adam West old school or anime old school?
But like the original.
I mean old school comics, not like the show. I mean like just Google it when you got a minute. He almost looks like got like a Maleficent kind of his ears are really long and like yeah.
Sick. Like anyway. Sick. I'm in.
But yeah, let's move on to some more DC stuff. Warner Media somehow has been sold to Discovery. Now, I don't understand what AT&T... I mean, apparently they're in a lot of debt, it seems. But the deal was worth about $43 billion. Apparently AT&T are around $150 billion in debt. Obviously, Discovery has a lot of, like, reality TV and things like that. But it seems like people who have a Discovery Plus subscription or a HBO Max subscription for now, obviously, nothing's going to change. But as you can imagine, over the next sort of, like, couple of years, when they sort everything out, they're going to start to come together. Maybe they might just put it together, HBO Discovery Max or HBO Plus. I don't flipping know. One interesting note is the CEO, Joseph Zaslav, did say that he wants to invest a lot more into streaming and cable and possibly films. I mean, what did AT&T even do with WarnerMedia? Like,
I think, so I looked at a few things about it, and I think the thing that really crumbled AT&T or got the people at AT&T annoyed is the fact not in your Snyder Cut, the idea of putting the movies out on HBO Max, like they didn't really execute it properly. So sorry, what I mean by that is the movies day and day release from the cinema and HBO Max, didn't work out for them in terms of money wise. So they thought that decision was ridiculous, and now it's costing them quite a bit of money, because you can imagine with, for example, they played all the talent up front with those deals. So for example, I know Denzel Washington got paid quite a handsome sum in terms of releasing that film that he did. I can't remember what it's called, but the movie that he did, they got paid quite a lot of money, the actors. So in all of these deals with the movies that are released on HBO Max and in the cinema the same day, it just didn't work out for AT&T. And apparently that was one of the decisions why they were just like, look, we're not in this for the long term. And they're giving it to Discovery, or Discovery paid for it.
Quick flip way.
They got really unlucky. Because this, like, AT&T has only really had like the DC stuff for what, 3 years, right?
Something like that. It's been, they haven't had the properties for a lot long at all. That's why I was quite surprised.
So they've got like a lot of money tied up in cinema, and the lockdowns and the quarantines hit because of COVID. So they already lost a huge chunk of revenue. And then from everyone else who kind of canceled their deals with cinema, they lost another huge like chunk of change. And now with like the streaming services kind of being the du jour thing going forward, like even with cinemas opening up, most people are still wanting day one releases for like the streaming services, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, they don't have a chance to kind of bounce back and recoup those losses because of the monopoly of cinema has kind of gone away, like for new releases. So like for them, this is a sinking like ship. There's no way back for them, kind of with how much they've got staked in cinema specifically.
Does anyone know how much of WarnerMedia went to Discovery? Did like everything go, like the networks, the sports stuff, like the gaming studios? Was it everything, or was it some of it?
I don't think it could have been the game, because what was the deal? It was $4 billion, something like that. So and weren't they touting just Warner Games alone was touting like two billion, wasn't it?
I mean, do you think? You can just check that, Hassan. Do you think that this would be better or worse for like DC properties moving forward?
I don't. I think what they need to do in order for HBO Max to be successful, what they need to do is price it better. Because at the moment, if I can spend £60 for the whole year for Disney, but you're telling me to spend like, what is it, $15 a month for HBO Max, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I get it. The properties on HBO Max, Honestly, the properties on HBO Max is
yeah,
a lot.
Nah, it's a different thing. Everything else.
Even like Netflix. The thing about Netflix is it's cool, but then once you watch what you need to watch on Netflix, it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to wait another year for the properties that I like to come back out. Do you know what I mean? Whereas HBO Max, you've got The Wire, you've got all of Game of Thrones, but skip out the last two seasons. You've got so much.
You
got
Friends as well.
Like, yeah, but even but then Discovery's got bare stuff as well. So imagine them two together. It's almost like having Sky.
That's what it is. These companies realize now that in order for them to really take the lion's share of the Netflix market, because Netflix have money to burn, by the way, that's why they give Zack Snyder so much to do. But in order for them to get the lion's share of it, they're gonna have to partner up, because it's that you got Mickey Mouse doing his stuff, which Disney are excellent at what they do. Let's be honest with it. Who's ever running the ship at Disney now is superb. But then you've got HBO Max and just Warner Brothers in general. Like, they just don't know what they're doing. So it might be a good thing that Discovery is taking this over. And then hopefully they just make the prices a little bit more competitive, because at the moment, Netflix is cheaper, Disney is cheaper. And as high quality of the shows that are on HBO Max are, honestly, you've probably already seen them already before.
There's some of the game studios going up, but not all of them. The thing with the Warner Media is they don't own a lot of studios. What they own is a lot of the
IPs. Properties.
Yes, the properties. So they have like stuff like Lord of the Rings. They can make the games for Lord of the Rings, which is a huge thing. And like they have like Harry Potter and like a few other things like that. So the studios they have are like niche. Like NetherRealms for like Mortal Kombat and like those kind of beat 'em ups and the Arkham kind of games, is like they're very specific kind of stuff. But what they have a lot of is the IPs.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind a day when I switch from watching Zack Snyder's Justice League and then go straight over to watching 90 Day Fiancé on Discovery Plus.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
But I love to see a bit of competition on the market. I hate when you hear that this company's... Whenever I hear Disney buying something, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, soon I'll be drinking Disney water.
The transaction was $43
billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, billion, that's what I said. But AT&T are 150...
I had $4 billion for some reason.
They still almost owe $100 billion after that, by the way.
Yeah, AT&T are moving mad with the debt, but shout out them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's move on. Quickly, I thought I'd slide this in here kind of for bants, but I think it's quite interesting for me to talk about this Twitch hot tub meta. I'm assuming Josh doesn't know about it.
This is hilarious.
Okay, so Hassan does. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown, Josh. So as you can imagine on Twitch, people stream all sorts of things on Twitch, right? Most people game. But over time, as there's more ways to make money, people start to use Twitch for other things. People do quizzes on Twitch. People just talk on Twitch, you know, use it like Instagram almost, just like a social media separated from kind of the gaming aspect of it.
People, as you can imagine,
yeah, exactly. So as you can imagine, Josh, female streamers, some female streamers like to use the gifts that God has given them during their streams to... Yeah, so, you know, cleavage and that and things like that, but it's getting more and more egregious. So there's this new streaming category, what they call hot tub streams, right? And what some of these female streamers, and there might be male streamers, I don't know. they go to, like, you know, they go Asda or whatever, Tesco, go buy a little kiddie pool. They fill up the pool in their front room. And then they just basically just sit in the pool in their bikini in the front room, and people just watch them on Twitch. It's almost like OnlyFans, but on Twitch. And what they do is, you know, they ask for subscriptions. I watched a couple YouTube videos about this, and apparently some of the things that these streamers do on Twitch is a bit mad for subs, you know, like clapping titties and literally, you know, doing all sorts of things for subs and then trying to funnel the audience to their OnlyFans pages, because a lot of them do. So Twitch actually decided to take action against this, and they've created a new category, which I can't even remember what it's called right now.
Beaches, hot tubs and pools.
Yeah, something like that. So they've created a new category that these streams have to go in. And the reason they've done this is so that advertisers can kind of know where not to put their videos, basically. What I thought was interesting about the move was Twitch saying, like, it's not our fault if you find a female attractive.
Which is totally fair, which is absolutely fair.
That is fair.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, go on, Hassan.
The funniest part for me, like, this whole time, like, I was like, you guys are moving mad about hot tubs and those kind of things. Like, we've been asking for, like, a black tag forever. Like, the people have been asking for, like, a trans tag and these kind of tags forever. And, like, the moment people get in a hot tub, they have to make another tag. Like, that ain't the issue. With, like, the hot tubs and all these kind of other things, I'm like, if there's an audience for it, whatever. Like, let people do and watch what they want. I'm not going to stop people. You're all adults. If you want to, like,
that's the issue, though, isn't it? I think what they did was probably the best thing, just because of the fact that there isn't, it's not adults. It's a lot of kids on Twitch. Like, it's a lot of people. I wouldn't say ban the content. I think
but you can people age aware. Gate.
Yeah, no, it's age gate. That's the word that was escaping me. Age gate it 100%. That's what needs to be done. Like, age restrict it.
Mm. And it's like, if you want to, like, have a delineation between, like, adult content and, like, everyone content, you see this everywhere. You see it in movies, you see it in YouTube, you see it in, like, anywhere there's people putting out content, right? So, like, why can't we have that on Twitch as well?
Six sales, and Twitch is not a child's platform. It's not like CBeebies.
Mate, for real. And, like, the fact that, like, this makes like an inordinate amount of money, it's like it clearly there is a market for it, right? For me, for my side, like, the thing that I kind of, like, I feel the most, like, annoyed about is the people who are, like, the angriest about it are the people who were continuously, like, harassing women anyway. Like, the people who are making Twitch a shitty place for women to stream regardless. And this is just another excuse for them to be shitty.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's a thing of, like, okay, there is something there that maybe we need to kind of, like, address and deal with. But the people that are making the most noise about it are probably doing it for the wrong reasons. And it kind of almost makes you want to not even side to be like, no, put it in your face. Put the tits in your face.
For real, because it's like there's like a lot of like interviews and kind of like discussions by people who are in this space, like women who do stream, who are like, this is the way that we've always been treated, this is the way we've been referred to, this is the way we, like, get harassed constantly, and Twitch does nothing. Like, if giving, like, it's like the fact that Twitch has actually gone on their side to a certain degree is massively surprising. Like, massively surprising.
I mean, I honestly think that the only reason that they even put it on a category is for advertiser reason. I don't think it's to do with the outrage, to be fair.
No, it's exactly that.
They're like, we're doing little as they can. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, there was, I can't remember what her name is. There was, I was reading, like, an article, and she was talking about her channel being, like, indefinitely removed from advertising because she does, like, a lot of these hot tub streams and, like, has all the OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff on the side. So she's kind of been, like, blacklisted from the advertising side of things, which is, like, Twitch, you did a good thing and then you did a really shitty thing.
It's a weird one. And I think it's quite a nuanced one. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Obviously, the queen of tubs herself, Amaranth,
that's the one. That
she's gonna do other things to basically monetize herself. Shout out her. Before we get into the main thing, I just wanted to say, lastly, Comic-Con is back in London anyway, in October, 25th to 27th. So yeah, just what I'd throw it out there, guys. Hopefully, I'll be in shape and in a Killer Bee cosplay. Who knows?
Listen. We're gonna hit the gym from today onwards. We're gonna get super wedge.
positive affirmations. Let's speak it into reality.
I'm going to cosplay as a hot tub. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh my God. All right, let's get into the main thing. So, remakes. Obviously, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, very long-awaited game released a couple weeks ago. There is a Last of Us remake coming on PS5. I'm not sure why. So, you know, we just thought we'd talk a little bit about remakes, our favorites, our not so favorites, and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to start though by asking to Josh and Hassan, is there a particular game that like you have played again and again? Like, is there one game that you've probably played this, like, that you know how to complete it? You just know everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of games like that. I play like a lot of RPGs, so like it's my bread and butter, bro. Are we going by games that haven't been remastered?
No, or remade? No, just your of all of that, just think of the one. There has to be one above all.
Fallout 3, like I can like complete that game like with my like blindfolded. I love that game.
Josh, do you have any?
I'd say Halo 3.
Mm.
6 hours. Yeah, fair enough. Easy to bang it out. I think
mine's is probably it's gonna be any of the Nintendo Zeldas. Ocarina of Time. Probably Ocarina of Time, actually. I've probably done that one more. I only brought it up because it's just getting into the kind of psychology and just into the thing of like remakes and remasters and why do we want to play the same games again and again? I'm quite more of a like one and done type person. Sometimes if I really love a game, I still need a very long break before I get into it. I think Persona 5 was the longest game I played twice kind of recently, and that was like a 2-year gap. So I was gonna ask, do you prefer a remake or a remaster? But I think that's a bit of a no-brainer. I actually I think it depends.
It does. Yeah, it does. Like, you can really fuck up a remake.
just to clarify, obviously a remake you tends to be from the ground up or with like very little of the like original code of the original game. A remaster tends to have the same code for the most part, but it might update textures, resolutions, frame rates, and some like small quality of life improvements. And the third one that we're not really talking about, which is a port, which is usually just copied and paste, usually just to like let more people, if you have a Nintendo, this game is here, they put it onto that console there so you can play it there. Minimal changes. You're right though, I think it is very easy to mess up a remake, you know. Mm. especially some of the old school things like Sword of Mana, those old school 16-bit sort of SNES games,
especially because they were built for like tech limitations in mind, like, you know, how they like don't look the same if you have like a HD TV rather than a CRT.
It's
like a lot of like the nostalgia you hold in your brain is really held back by the limitations of what they were programming with. So like some of those games just don't need to be remade or remastered. They should just kind of be left where they were because it's a perfect time capsule.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because it's like sometimes it's gonna sound weird. Like sometimes the limitations allowed game developers to reach a product that was only reached because of that limitation. So it actually allowed for like a, you know, a creative process to lead there. Whereas when you try and remake a game, I think that devs don't realize that limitations created the magic unintentionally. And then now that you're kind of free, you kind of don't know what to do with it. I say this to Ram all the time. The worst Zelda game will be the first Zelda game where Link talks. I'm telling you, it's going to be the worst one.
I was having this conversation recently, actually, weirdly enough. But I really hope if they ever voice Link, he's a dumbass. Like, he's just, durr. He just, because he has that like blank look in his face constantly. Yeah, I kind of hope he gets voiced in that way.
But I think when you sometimes do that, especially when you remaster something, you're taking away a bit of the magic of the original one. And that's the thing that kills it, isn't it? It's the thing that, like, when I played Fable for the first time, this is the moment that I had with this game. And sometimes when you try and force a remake, it doesn't work as well, I think.
Yeah, I think a remaster is easier to kind of just get right, because usually there's a higher... I feel like it's a higher risk with a remake, and remakes are usually old games, whereas remasters might just be... I feel like a lot of intergenerational games tend to be remastered and things like that. I mean, all right, I'm going to ask, what would you say is... I don't know how many remakes Josh has played, but what would you say is your best remake or remaster?
So I'm getting this right, guys. Halo, for example, the Master Chief Collection. What are we calling that?
That's a remaster. Yeah.
Okay. Because then for me, I enjoyed that. And I know this is going to be the Xbox answer. And I know, like, my Americans are tooting and shooting right now. But for me, I enjoyed it because essentially with that, you can go back, you can click a button, and you can go back to how it was on the original Xbox. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of cool. And it's the coolest thing to do that when you are looking at, for example, in the second level, when you land on the ring and you can just flip it from actually being Xbox and then Xbox One or whatever it is now, or my Xbox Series X. And I think it's just so cool being able to do that, because you can capture that same moment, because it's a feeling, I feel, that's more important than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Hassan?
For me, I'd say the best remake would be Link's Awakening.
Oh,
I
was on my list.
Mate, right. So I originally played the Game Boy version of that game. Like, that was like one of the first games I ever played. I still remember like the chiptune music, like in the Game Boy, like having my head like headsets, like playing that game. It's such a magical experience to then now play it built up from the ground up with so much intricate detail and kind of beauty and a new art style, new life kind of brought to it, with like better production value for like the music, because they can actually use instruments. And like, it's like one of the most kind of like heartwarming moments of like recent gaming for me, kind of having that being brought back to being a child, because like, as much as like there's so much has changed, the game was still the same. Like it was like the map was still the same. Like I was still remembering secrets it was like it transported me back to my childhood while giving me something fresh and new, and that was perfection. Like absolute perfection.
No, I totally agree. That was actually one of I had like three, but like for different reasons. And I think that one, and I would say, I know this one might be a bit controversial to some, but the Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask 3D, the ones that came out on the 3DS. And I say this because I bought Ocarina of Time in Comic-Con like a couple of years ago on the Nintendo 64, and I hooked it up to my HDTV, and you know that, like how that went. Like I was shocked. my eyes were in awe in a bad way of how little like definition, especially seeing as after playing it on the 3DS, and I've even completed both of those games on the 3DS like at least 10 times. Like I've been stuck with a face on Link, a proper face, for example, and then playing on it and I'm like, where's his face gone? So those two games, for the exact same reason as you, like the way that they kind of kept things fresh, but they added enough quality of life improvements inside things that made me feel like, yeah, I'm really like loving this game. It almost feels like I'm playing it fresh again, minus the 3D stuff. And another one I had was actually the GameCube Resident Evil game. I think remasters, for me personally, I get more joy out of ones from games I haven't played. Because I tend to be a one and done person. So that, and like the Demon's Souls remaster for the PS5, two that have that are very tight, and they I can go and look at side by side comparisons, but the new like lick of paint they've put on it, especially on that Resident Evil game, and that was on GameCube, and that like it looks so much better than the PS1 version. Allow me to experience in a way that didn't make the game too like, you know, sometimes time does, you play an old game and you're like, yeah, these controls are all types of left, and changing some of those, just tweaking some of those things for the better. So yeah, I'll say those are my best. I think worst is a harder question. I couldn't really, I only had one myself personally. Josh, do you have any worse?
Do you know when they rebooted the Devil May Cry series?
I know, yeah. Oh, we've thrown reboots to three R's. Reboots as well.
No, because like it's just like, that's not Dante. And I'm like, who is this guy?
they hit you with that Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 2. That feel.
It's so weird.
The reason reboots can be funnier is because part of me does think, depending on when it was rebooted and why, like part of me kind of just thinks like, okay, you tried that, it didn't work. Like me personally, I can be a bit more forgiving. I wasn't feeling that Devil May Cry though, because I was a very big fan of 3. 4 had already put me on a bit of a weird place, and then that one, I didn't even play it. I played the demo. I was like, nope. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I was a teenager though. I know, I was young, and I was like very like, yeah. Fuck this game.
They did 5 and they killed that one, didn't they?
That guy just doesn't exist. He just exists. Yeah. No, that's just another, that's like Earth 2.
See, that's what I mean. Yeah, that was awful.
That's just another Dante and another, that was awful, to be fair. I'm gonna jump in and just say I only really have Silent Hill, the HD collection. And that's because I remember playing 2. On the PS2, and there was like no fog. They took the fog off, and I was just like, I can see everything. Like, that's like actually an example of the limitations we were talking about earlier. Josh, Silent Hill 2 is like, it's fog everywhere, like, but it's because of like I can't remember the name, like the visibility range like on the system. So they added fog into the game, so you couldn't see very far, so they didn't have to render that very far ahead. But obviously, the next generation's more powerful hardware. They kind of removed the fog, but like it just looked weird. Like you just see that monster just over there,
just chilling. It's just like, oh, hi, bud.
Yeah, it was weird how updating it somehow made it worse. And I'm gonna say Mario 3D All Stars because of the terrible nature of that game. And I do have it. I managed to get it. Do they still sell it anymore? Is it too late?
No, it's gone now. I that was the weaponized FOMO in gaming.
That, like, it really was. And did you know, Josh? So they remade all the 3D. No, they made they remastered. That was a remaster. I don't think it was a remake. Yeah, it was a remaster. So
it's a remaster.
Then Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy on the Switch, and they sold it for like a year basically, and they're like, yeah, after this amount of time, you will not be able to buy this anymore. You will only be able to buy it through like a third party, basically. It's not on the store anymore. I'm going to sell it for £100 in about 5 years.
That's mad. Is it really
bad? Yeah, for real. It's,
no, it's gone. You can't buy it. Google Mario All-Stars 3D. Get it third party of someone, but you won't get it from Nintendo.
Do they even sell physical versions?
I got it physical, yeah.
Oh, sick. Okay.
I always go...
They legit made a black market. <It's> so stupid.
It did. It's probably them hustling on the black market as well somehow.
Hey, real for real.
I got physical. I got digital. I got tokens.
Like, you want that? You want that sunshine? You want that sunshine?
but yeah. Hassan, worst remake.
Worst remake. I would say 13. Like, do you know?
Oh my god! Oh,
do you remember that?
But you know, that's one of those weird games that I just randomly played as a child. My uncle gave me an Xbox and just gave me a ton of games, and that was one of the games I remember really enjoying.
Yeah, the game was great. But like, do you know the cel shading art style? Like, that was one of the first games, like really, that was like utilizing it, and it was like really cool and really interesting and like unique. And at the time, anyway, it's not cel shaded anymore.
Yeah. Oh. So it kind of took like, the defining art style of it.
Yeah, it's like that thing that we loved it for. It's not there anymore. Like it missed the point so heavily in that remaster. It was stupid.
I think that kind of goes into the next question I was going to ask about. What point does it all become a sort of like cash grab, as they say? Like, I feel like a lot of the remasters, but then I think there's a fine line between saying that something is a cash grab and saying something so popular that we need to play it everywhere. I'm looking at you, Skyrim.
Yeah, I was gonna say
because that game is available everywhere.
It's what, three generations of consoles on? Like, it's been remastered for, like, because it was what, the Xbox 360, then the Series X, then the One,
and now the Series X. It's just like GTA, just the same as GTA. That just getting ported across. I'm like, make a new game. Dude. Apparently, GTA 6's map got leaked. You know, sorry, it's randomly fired right now.
Yeah, like I'm a little bit like wary with Take-Two because like a lot of like the creative heads have left. So I'm really worried about like what's going to come next. But we'll see.
Yeah, this GTA just seems like it's in the wind. But yeah, I think I definitely think the frequency, if you're remastering the game so soon after it came out, I think sometimes looking at the finished product, you can see that they've like literally, you know, certain devs don't do anything. I mean, you have some renowned developers that are like known for making good remakes and remasters, but sometimes you can clearly see that, like, you know, some publishers put this IP in their hand and been like, just make it again or do something with it and push it out again, you know.
I think it's like, isn't that one of the biggest like problems with the gaming industry in general, that there isn't a lot of innovation, and when you do these remasters, it's just like, it's definitely a cash grab, you're definitely making me pay for the same game. I've not looked at Mass Effect just as yet, and I'm definitely gonna buy. No, I probably won't buy it, I'll be honest with you guys. Eventually, it'll be coming on EA, isn't it? So it'll be eventually.
Oh my god!
Yeah, play the system.
Are you asking me to play the same game twice? And then, well, what are we saying here, guys? I'll wait.
It's you can get it on PC for like £34.
Oh really?
If you.
I saw it on Xbox and it was like 50. And
oh
like,
yeah, yeah, no.
I got like EA Access, wherever it's calling itself nowadays. And it was like, oh, 50, you can pay full price for £60 or get it like 10% off and it's like 55. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait until it's free.
Yeah. I think that's the best shout to me. I do want to play it though. But Ram wants to play it. She's gonna take the PlayStation and play it. I might just buy on PC though.
I'm playing at the moment, and boys.
Oh yeah, how is your? Do you know what? Let's get through the question. Let's finish this off first. What would you say is the perfect time frame for a remake?
I think a two generation gap is like optimal.
Yeah,
because there's like this enough remembrance and nostalgia to kind of like have a window for people who played it and remembered it fondly enough. And there's a gap of people who haven't played it enough for there to be a new market for it too.
I agree. I think for a remake, you definitely have to have like a two generation gap. I think remasters. I like ports. I do like being able to play games. Like, you know, I love my Switch. So anytime I hear like an RPG or something, I'm like, please be on the Switch. I'm still waiting for Persona 5 on a Switch, just so that Ram can play it. I want her to fall in love with the gang the same way I do. Well, that goes on to my next question, Taj, actually. How many ports would you say are too many ports?
If I don't mind like I don't like exclusives. Like I think I've said that like enough on on our pod and like when we talk. If we can get to a point where people can play games like on their preferred system, I'm happy. So like ports are great. Ports are always going to be great for me. Do I think that everything should be ported or will be ported? Probably not, because like that's not good business sense. But
yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm actually more on that page now. I feel like even though I do be riding for my PlayStation, I'm kind of like, I hate wanting to play something and then being like, oh, it's there. And even if I have that console and this console, sometimes I just prefer to play something on this console. I've been raised a console gamer, so I do play a lot of, like, I play all my first person shooters on PC, keyboard and mouse, but I prefer to play everything else on control pad. So I do like the kind of options, to be fair. My last question, do you prefer to play a game when it's like original release console, or are you not really fussed about the original experience per se?
Josh, you want to go first?
I'm not really fussed, I'll be honest with you guys. I like it fresh, I like it new. I don't even know where my original Xbox is, god damn it.
I'm with Josh. Like, if it's on a console that I own, I'll play it. I'm like, I'm not like a purist. Like, if there's a SNES game that's on the Switch that I can play, I'm not gonna dust off my like SNES and then buy the cartridge instead. Like, that don't make sense to me.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm a bit of a collector, so I don't care about playing the original game, but I would like to own it if possible. So like, like the whole thing with Nintendo and the ROMs, and they're like, you know, if you own the game, play the ROM on your PC if you have a physical like copy. Obviously they'll never know in it, but you know. But it's like if I have Zelda on my 3DS, I'll play it on my 3DS if I want to play it, but I have it on my Nintendo 64. I do aim to get every Zelda game, like at least one copy of every original Zelda game minus the Philips CD games.
No, I want those. I really, really want those games. Like,
oh, I don't.
It's just because of like, and not I do, because I've played like some of it. It's not like even just to like play for the fun. It's just the games are so stupid and so ridiculous that like it's always a good time just because of how ridiculous it is.
I hear that. But yeah, that is our talk on remasters and remakes. Play Mass Effect. Play Zelda.
Should we talk about some Mass Effect?
Yeah. How is it, Hassan?
Oh boy. So I've been like sick for a little while. So like I've been at home and just been doing nothing else but playing Mass Effect. It's kind of like how I've been.
Sounds like the best way to have it.
Yeah, it's literally been wild. Like, I can't remember the last time I played an RPG where I was like, I don't want to do anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where I was
yeah.
like, I have to eat. Yeah. What am I doing? Like, it really kind of like gave me that old school like feeling of like being a kid, like sitting around with the OG big old Xbox with like the big old controller and like playing like Oblivion, like that kind of feeling of like just really getting absorbed into the world.
How far are you?
I'm on Mass Effect 3 now.
Oh my god. You was gonna be like, yeah, I'm the end of one.
No, wait. Yeah, basically. So I don't sleep.
Sleep in the game.
Yeah, for real. Like, there's definitely some issues I've got with the game, especially with the running. Like, the running makes no sense. Why can't you turn with your... you can't, bruv. Listen, but like apart from that, your story and like the kind of story beats and the characters are really fun. It does really feel like a dude writ them and like designed all the female characters, because it's kind of like,
is it Ashley? Those shots of Ashley when you meet her, it's like, huh? Up here.
there is like that kind of 80s tit armor like going on in sci-fi, and it is. so wild. Like, it really feels like a 16-year-old dude did all the designs. Like, it but yeah, apart from that, really good fun, a little bit racist and a little bit xenophobic.
Have you done the whole Krogan business?
I literally just finished off that thing like recently, and like the worst part is, right, it's like every time you kind of make a good decision, I say quote unquote like morality system good decision, people are still kind of like, you probably should have just did the whole genocide thing. It's like, what? It's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, bro. My God. When you finish that, forget, right, minus the ending, it gets tense, like, towards the end, man.
I heard they had to re-put it back in the oven. Like, the Mass Effect 3 ending was meant to be really bad.
Oh, yeah, man. It was kind of just almost like the end. That's what it was. It was just like, I would say, being objective, it was more underwhelming than bad. Of all these three games, of all the choices and all the things you could do, it literally boiled down to like a generic, a good or bad kind of. It just, and it was a color. It was just a filler, like a filter that you changed, and it just felt a bit like. Oh, but I think the ride of the trilogy, like some people saying, the ending ruined the whole trilogy. Totally disagree, man. Those three games were amazing.
I don't. Actually, no. Do you know what it is? I've never played something in my entire life where the last 5 minutes were so bad. I'm literally saying the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's.
I was like, because the third one is like a perfect combination of one and two. Like how, like, for example, how Lord of the Rings was, because, like, you know, Lord of the Rings was like the first one, you just like you're exploring the world and whatever. Then the second one was like action packed, and then this third one is like action packed and like all the best of the world and everything like that. It's just a perfect combination. And the last 5 minutes, I was like, what's happening? Someone tell me what's happening, because I heard about it as well. I heard about the ending being bad, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? Oh no. It was like that.
go back. You know what? I feel like I just rewrote him. Not rewrote it. I just pretend like I never saw that ending in my head. I'm just like, oh yeah. It was a good trilogy, and I just don't think about the
That's hilarious. They came in like it's cats. Just redid it.
It's just really rubbish. But it's not like out of pocket. It's not like, oh, like somehow like Krogan babies. There's nothing left field. It's just like, is that it? Where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
I never played Andromeda. Are you a male or a female? I don't think it matters. I'm a male. Who's bae? Who's wifey?
Tally, obviously. The only right choice.
Oh my, wait, which one's who's Oh, is that the helmet lady?
Yeah.
Oh, the helmet
lady.
Yeah, like literally.
That's an interesting choice.
It's because everyone else is either insane or a racist. And I can't. Like, I can't with this game's writing.
Who was my wifey? Liara Slyly. That was Bae. The scientist.
Oh, she's just boring, bro. She's just mad boring.
She is kind of boring, but she cute.
Ashley was my Bae, and I kind of regretted it, but it's fine.
Nah, Ashley was high key sus, man.
Bro,
little bit racist.
She was Storm the Capitol racist.
But she's voiced by a black woman. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Tali's an interesting one. Do you know what? But I just, teenage me just wasn't like, you know.
You weren't ready for that conversation.
Yeah. she's a bit too like, I feel like she had like legs that were like, I don't know. I just remember being like, I like her, but she's a bit too alien. As wild as that sounds, like
I'm like, more alien. Let's go.
would you have romanced a female Krogan?
I mean, if they gave me the option, I would kind of have to, right?
I mean, you never. I need to play this game again, man.
Sometimes you just need some strong arms to hold you.
Nah, but that's classic though. Like literally, I just remember just playing it and just enjoying it. Like I remember playing the first one. I'm gonna be because I kind of like the action packedness of it. So I remember playing the first one. Like, okay, I can explore real worlds, and I don't really like how this car moves when I'm exploring the different.
Oh, the Mako.
Oh, dude, listen, I almost quit. I almost quit when they put me in that shitty truck.
Yeah,
bruv,
that was all wild, mining the planets.
Bruv, I was, because it was like the first time I did it, and then I had to fight a Thresher Moor, And I was like, this is insane. What am I doing? They're not telling me what am I shooting? Like, what specifically right now am I meant to be shooting? And why am I always missing? Bro, I was so angry.
Yeah, no, that is a thing you had to kind of look past. I really like the dancing in that game. Dance used to make me laugh. For some reason, I just remember there was like club scenes and like, I guess because the music was quite like futuristic, and it was really like ragdolly. Like, you could tell this wasn't like mocap. You could tell they animated they animated these dances from scratch.
It was like they asked someone to animate dancing, and the person who's animating doesn't know what dancing is. And so they got someone else who doesn't know what dancing is to approximate dancing to that person to then animate it.
I don't know what dancing is. Explain to him what dancing is, and then you draw it.
Yo, that was as much dancing as Sunny D is orange juice. It was not dancing.
Oh man, I want to play this game, man. I need to get on PC again, man. I'm gonna do it. But yeah,
I might even buy it. Like, Hassan might have just encouraged me to spend a little bit of money.
It's really good fun. As much as I'm kind of like the xenophobia, but like, it's really good fun. Like, and as soon as we're done here, I am gonna be playing it.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I do remember as well, the renegade options were so wild. Like, it's like, be polite or punch this man in the face.
The way I have to save before every conversation, because I'm like, I have to do it. Like,
go one way or the other.
I shot this dude and I was just like, we were having a conversation. Why did you shoot him?
It's so true. Oh god, we need to. Maybe we should do a Mass Effect episode. Maybe get Ram to play you and Ram's experiences. But yeah, that's the episode, guys. Before we go though, what are you guys up to? I'll start with Hassan because we know he's been playing Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah, Mass Effect's great. I've also been reading a bunch of graphic novels recently. So I picked up Descenders on Ram's recommendation, which like the sci-fi robot one, which is really good. And I'm also reading Something is Killing the Children. Dude.
Oh, yes.
You need to read this. It's so good.
I need to check it out, man.
It's a small town is like being beset by something is like all the children are like going missing. And there's like... Mm-hmm. It starts off in like kind of a horror movie kind of thing where it's like kids in a sleepover and they're talking about scary situations and they go out to the forest and like shit goes down. none of the adults love can really see. Yeah, like none of the adults can see what's happening. Like none of the adults can see the thing. It's only the kids and they are going missing. Dude, it's really good. It's really, really good.
It's a Netflix series.
It would slay as a Netflix series. It would be sick.
Yeah, I need to check that out, man. I need to add it to my list. Josh, what have you been up to?
So, Hassan, you're going to hate me. So, the program...
Did you watch Snyder Cut again?
So, the program I've been watching, Hassan, The Nevers, I love it.
The what?
I love it. It's called The Nevers, and I love it so much. Like, I've been telling Levi to check it out. Just check it out.
He has.
It's basically, so it's set in like, I don't know, like the 19th century. So Britain is just coming out of its industrial era. And then T2's like some alien, I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is. Some alien shit drops down and gives like people powers. Yeah. And they are like all infected, almost like it's like the combination of like X-Men meets like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something meets Batman and just all had a baby and created a TV show. So I was watching the first episode and I was like, this is like an amazing show. HBO has done it again. And then I finished it and then it said directed by Joss Whedon and I was like, no!
They bamboozled
come
you.
Come back, enjoyments. Come back. Grasping at your TV.
Oh, man.
I had to stick with it because I'm enjoying it so much. Like, every episode is like almost a 10 out of 10 episode. I'm like, I can't believe this. But then I look at the hate on it online And I think people are just hating on it because it's Josh Whedon.
I'm not and that's no, but like that's fair. Like he is he's a huge shitbag.
He is 100%, and it's super understandable. So that's why I was like, I can you separate the art? And a question that I know you guys had loads of times, but I've had to because I'm enjoying it. And it's not the actress's fault or the actor's fault that the guy is such
a person,
you know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah, no,
I mean,
for real. They're doing their best and they're knocking it out of the park.
It's so good. It's such an amazing TV show. So like I'm loving that show at the moment. I've checked it out. Is it called Jupiter Ascending? Is that what it's called?
Jupiter's Legacy. Oh,
Jupiter's Legacy.
I made that same mistake as you, Josh. I called it Ascending. I've heard so much mixed reviews about it, and the trailers look so underwhelming that I haven't bothered. I'll read the graphic novel.
What do you think, Josh?
It's okay. It's not like The Nevers, but I'm just watching it. I'm gonna see how it ends up. But I feel like it's a little bit. It's like lukewarm.
Can I save you wasting some time with it?
Yeah.
It is aggressively okay.
That's one of the biggest
aggravatingly aggressively okay. Like, and nothing they do is good. Nothing they do is bad, but like nothing they do is good or like unique. It's all like you know when you see something that's been like put through testing, like they have 16 test audiences and then they kind of come back and then they have to go back. This is what this is. It's the most committee bullshit I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, that's the main.
That's totally fair. Yeah, like it's nothing really. It's not nothing that I've not really seen before, I feel, when I'm watching it.
Yeah, I won't be investing anytime soon.
That's about it. I mean, I need to catch up with One Piece. I think I might do it after this.
Oh, One Piece.
And have a good read of One Piece. I need to start watching it as well, to be honest. Because
listen, they just done the Odin flashback. They did it. Oh my. Ram was sitting behind me and I was just all in my feelings. And she showed me this really inappropriate meme. It was funny. I can't lie. It was more of a too soon for me personally. But yeah, One Piece is lit. Sorry, I didn't mean to interject there, but it's so lit right now.
Let's catch up.
That's the anime anyway. Oh, as for myself, I've been quite busy. I've been reading Batman Second Son. Still reading it. Issue 2 came in the post for me yesterday. It's quite interesting. If you read Future State, Josh, you might be interested in reading Second Son. It's like the present day version. It's like the gap of how he might become Batman or whatever. I've also been reading Berserker. Issue 2 came out as well. I don't know if you managed to read it yet, Hassan. I'm quite intrigued.
I've not yet.
I'm quite in the first issue was fine, but I think the second issue is really just like really interested me. We've just got a little more glimpse into this. I forget his name. Have they even said his name? I can't remember. Of him, Keanu. Like, pardon?
Keanu.
Yeah, I'm just gonna call him Keanu. Of him in the Stone Age and just a little more insight into this power that he has. I think. As of issue 2, I'm now invested, as opposed to just, what is it that they say in Django? You had my interest, now you have my curiosity, or whatever the fuck that the guy says in Django.
Dude, I don't remember that movie.
You know when Leonardo DiCaprio is like, you have my interest? Oh, anyways, I've been playing Resident Evil 8, just banging that out. It's good times. I'm also nearly finished Bravely Default. I say nearly finished. Yeah, I don't know.
You've been saying that for like a month and a half.
No, I'm actually like, you know, JRPGs have this habit of you kill the boss and the credits run, but it's not done yet. I've done that once. I think I've got to do it 2 more times. I'm not sure.
Is it like near where there is like 26 endings or something?
No, it's just usually it's just the age old trope of you beat the bad guy, but you can kind of already see that there was someone manipulating that person. Then you go and defeat that person, and then the last one's usually really left field. But yeah, you know it is. And I've been watching Love, Death and Robots. Obviously, need to watch the last 2 episodes. Josh, have you watched Love, Death and Robots at all?
I haven't. It's out on Netflix as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bro, what? It's really. It's like they're like short animated episodes, like 15 minutes. It's just really creative. That's the only way I can describe it, loads of different art styles, loads of different animation styles, and they're all short stories. It's really like you could literally pop a episode on after this and just watch one now. They're really, and you could like just, it's easy to just burn through a season of Love, Death and Robots. But I mean, I say season, there's only two, but it's good times.
I watched season two in one sitting, like sick.
I stopped and I haven't gone back since, but do you know what? I just need to watch the Michael B. Jordan one was kind of a little bit underwhelming for me, and I didn't finish the two after that. But I'm gonna do it right now.
Go back. All right.
Right now. But yeah, that's the episode. Rem's not here. I've got to do the socials. Oh no.
You got this. Do you want me to do this?
Can you do it, please?
Right. You can find us at the Nerd Alternative with the E on Instagram. You can find us at the Nerd Alternative without the E on Twitter and on Reddit. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podchaser, and any major podcast platform.
And YouTube.
We have videos on our YouTube. You can come check those out. Please give us a subscribe and a comment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And Joshua, you also have a podcast. Do you want to remind the people?
I'll be honest with you guys. So obviously Liverpool had a heartbreak of a season. We lost like all our centre backs. I know there's the gamers right now who have probably already switched off. That's fine. But Liverpool managed to sneak in third place. So I'm going to relaunch our goddamn podcast and bring it back. So
I love it.
Yeah, so Signal Pundit. We have been active on Twitter throughout because Alex's brother gets into wars with other football fans. It's quite funny. But other than that, guys, yeah, we will be relaunching, I believe, at the end of the week. So a video probably coming out on Saturday.
Nice. The boys are back.
There was a lot of football bantering. I mean, I don't watch football, but there was a lot of banter in the office today. I didn't know what was going on. I could tell. I knew Liverpool did sign.
Mate, I'm literally just there like, did the ball go?
Did it go in the goal?
Can I tell you something really quickly? So Liverpool, a couple of weeks back, yeah? Literally, there was... So it's 1-1, Liverpool versus West Brom. West Brom already relegated, so West Brom are rubbish, yeah? Liverpool 1-1, about to drop points. If we draw this game, we're out of the top four race. Yeah, it's finished. Our goalkeeper comes up, 90 minutes, heads the ball in the back of the net. I was almost in tears. Like, you don't understand. Oh, screaming and shouting. Everyone thought something went wrong. I was like, no, Alisson just scored. And the thing about Alisson, just touch on it really quickly. And again, you can absolutely delete this out of the podcast. It's fine.
No, it's in.
Alisson, so during COVID, obviously, it's been really difficult time for everyone. Alisson actually lost his dad. I don't think it was due to COVID. I think he like jumped in the river in like Brazil and then he drowned. So Alisson,
that's our goalkeeper,
literally like lost his dad and everything. It's been like a hard season for him. And then he comes up, the goalkeeper, 90th minute, scores the winning goal. Oh, mate, I literally was in bits, mate.
What a triumphant thing.
That's some gangster-ish, I can't lie.
And that's the thing, like, if you don't, like, obviously football is not for everyone, innit? But I would say, and I'm just saying this, but being a Liverpool fan is the most entertaining shit ever. Because stuff like that happens. And that's the norm. It's almost the norm for Liverpool fans. We do things that are just, like it's like an anime or something. It doesn't make sense.
By the power of friendship.
I'm telling you. And if you search the goal now, they've literally put the Titanic music as he goes up and scores. And goes,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what you said in the group chat. Yeah, yeah.
So funny. Yeah, but yeah, that was it, guys. Thank you for giving me that little sports segment.
Right. You're welcome. Right.
Thank you for coming on the show. And guys, remember, Odin wouldn't be Odin if it wasn't boiled. If you know.
Bye.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a... culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think the apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because the apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on the apocalypse. It's like the apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow the apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is the apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, the apocalypse is sure to have something for you.